Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around.
Oh, I'm feeling rather philosophical today, and I would consider myself a pretty philosophical person, actually. Spend a lot of time just in contemplation, navel-gazing. But actually, I feel like for the last few months, I haven't really been in that place. And I don't know if it's because of like what's happening in the world, and maybe there's some unresolved trauma as a side effect. I know that I'm definitely very affected by other people's emotions and stuff. I haven't felt spacious and contemplative for a while. Oh, there's beautiful dolphins out there. But I am today, and this is something that's been forming for a while, but I just haven't found the words for. Interesting, over the last couple of months, you know, my Facebook memories come up, and I look at them and I think, oh, I had so much, you know, wisdom to share. And I think that's what I haven't felt. I haven't felt the call to really create for some reason. Anyway, this morning I was okay, so this has been forming for a little while, this idea, and I've probably spoken about it a bit. I've been unpacking this for a while, and I feel like I've finally got some language around it, so I thought I would share. Now, you might remember, I think I published the episode when I was talking about things can be, and, you know, they don't have to be or. It doesn't, like, there doesn't have to be two black and white truths and nothing in the middle. You know, like two things can be true at the same time. Two conflicting ideas can be true at the same time. And I've been thinking a lot about this because I feel like, So I was scrolling Facebook this morning and I saw one of my Facebook friends had posted a little note that they were listening to The Untethered Soul. Michael Gerber? Is that? No. Oh, maybe. Anyway, he also did the Surrender Experiment. And I listened to some of the Surrender Experiment on Audible a few years ago. And I found it, you know, it's quite helpful. But this woman was saying how, you know, she had studied the law of attraction and now she's reading The Untethered Soul and it seems to be the opposite. You know, so which one is true? Is law of attraction true? Or the idea of, I guess, of surrender. I haven't read The Untethered Soul, but I have listened to some of the Surrender Experiment, and actually I don't think they're in opposition with each other at all. And this is the interesting thing, right? Like like this probably isn't an episode for everyone because not everyone will probably even get what I'm saying, because sometimes I don't even really get it. But the idea is that, you know, for me, law of attraction seems like kind of a privileged white person thing, you know, like it doesn't take into consideration the atrocities that are happening in the world. And can we really attribute that to somebody's mindset or, you know, the law of attraction? You know, it just doesn't seem plausible to me. And so I've struggled with it. I think like when I first started, you know, when The Secret came out or whatever, I kind of played around with manifesting and I just could never really make it work, which is an interesting concept in and of itself, right? And this is what this particular person was saying. She was saying like, I haven't been able to control what I create with the law of attraction. And it's like, But that is the actual concept of it, right? It's packaged up and sold as a neat thing. You stick a thing on a vision board and voila. And actually, to some extent, I do find that to be true. You know, in the last year, I've had some pretty crazy things happen where I have just, you know, like I've thought of something. Like, for example, the Show Up, Speak Up and Clarify and Amplify. You know, I'd thought, oh, that would be a fun thing to do. Maybe I could do something like that. Oh, but I don't have the energy to, like, you know, do it on my own. And then voila, enter Wise and with some funding and it's off the ground, you know. So there are elements where I do believe it's that easy. And also equally opposing views that don't. You know, and this is what I mean when I've been talking a bit about how I feel like I sit on the fence a lot. And it's not that I'm sitting on the fence, it's that I can see that opposing views, like we don't live necessarily in a binary consciousness, right? Like things aren't just black and white or black or white or, you know, night and day. I mean, for those kind of things there is, but there's still shades in that as well, right? You've still got dusk and dawn. And so I just kind of buy more into everything being a paradox right now, because as soon as I start to buy into a certain paradigm, a certain concept, a certain construct, then I become aware that the equal and opposite is also true. So for me, where I stand now is there is no absolute truth. Like, even when I think about, like, I go back to when I was like 15 years old. I remember sitting in the, not even, I don't reckon, I was probably 13. Yeah, I would have probably been in around year 8. And I remember staying back after a science class with my science teacher. And we were having, like, I wasn't really a great science student. I didn't really get it, which I find really interesting now, because I feel like I'd actually make a good science student if it was more accessible. And I had really understood that it was like a trial and error thing more than formulas and, you know, and like, no, I found the language not a language I could connect with. And I just didn't get it. It's not the way my mind works. But I am a very experimental person. I'm a very curious person. And I do like to get to the bottom of things, you know. So from that perspective, I feel like science could have been amazing if it were different. And anyway, I remember sitting back with my teacher, Mr. Bradfield, something like that. And having this conversation with him about life and about, like, how did I know that I existed? You know, how did I know that my experience was real? Other than the fact that I'm having it, you know, which is a rather philosophical thing for a 13-year-old girl who, you know, who was rather, you know, rather, I wouldn't say I was disruptive necessarily. I wasn't like a naughty school kid. I actually was quite a good student, or not quite a good student, maybe an average student. But I could be provocative and a bit of a clown at times. So, you know, for me to be having this conversation with this teacher, who I had been very provocative, not in like a sexual way, obviously, just a, like, you know, I liked to provoke a response from him. And so I would be a bit of a smart ass. But this particular conversation, I remember so clearly. I can see myself in the lab, you know, and having this conversation with him. And essentially, you know, the answer was, well, we don't really, you know, and I think this is something that I've been questioning for the past 30 years, really, like, does do I really exist? Is this experience I'm having real? You know, other than the fact that I am here, like, you know, there's that movie, is it Dark City? Anyway, the conversation that I was having with the teacher was kind of like that, like, and he was saying, you know, well, how do we know that we haven't just been planted a dream and we wake up and we're living a different reality? How do we know that this moment now is real? How do we know that, you know, that we haven't just been created in this moment and implanted with memories? Like I know it sounds kind of a bit sci-fi and weird, but these are the kind of questions that I'm always asking myself. You know, like, is this experience real? And does it matter? Does it matter at all? And I think this is the paradox. It doesn't matter at all. And equally, it matters. You know, and this is where I find myself now, I guess, after contemplating these questions for a very long time, where I find myself is this place of like, I don't know, and I don't necessarily need to know. You know, because it's fun to contemplate, and it's fun for me to get philosophical, but I guess the answers don't really matter. But I guess what it does for me is gives me this sense of my, you know, these two equal opposite forces both being true. One is that I'm completely insignificant, and the other is that I'm an all-powerful creator. And both are true, which is a paradox. And I guess like what I sense is that we are moving out of this binary kind of thinking into more embracing what we cannot understand. You know, particularly for me, I'm finding that I'm coming to a place where I'm accepting that I will never have the answers that I seek. And that's okay, because now I understand that there is no one absolute universal truth. There are multiple, and they change as we change. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, like, why my truth today isn't necessarily what it will be tomorrow. So, you know, so we more and more, when I understand that more and more, I am able to open up to people also changing their minds and being accepting of that. Because, yeah, things aren't as binary as they seem. And this is the thing, coming back to that law of attraction versus the surrender aspect, you know, like the very idea that we can control is flawed, you know? And it's also true. This is the paradox of it. So, and it's interesting because maybe that's why I've been reluctant to share more than I have been recently, because I'm really, really understanding that nothing is true and everything is true. You know, so I find it very difficult to, you know, yeah, sell any outcomes of anything, because I totally understand how individual this is and how there is no concrete truth. So how can I sell one concept when there is an equal, opposite, opposing idea that is also true? Which is the paradox I live at the moment. You know, and I've spoken a bit about this in different ways, in the idea that, you know, either... It doesn't have to be either or, it can be and. One thing can be true, and at the same time, something else can be equally as true. So in that law of attraction example, you know, yes, that can be true. It can be true that we can create, and and that there is this law of attraction. The frequency with which we vibrate is the frequency with which we attract. And while I believe that to be true, less and less I believe it to be true. Because I can also see how, like, what a egoic concept that we can choose our path. You know, that we can choose what we create. We can choose what we want. Like, it's a very egocentric kind of idea. And also, you know, this is something that I was playing with this morning. This idea of, like, hard work, or, you know, I see it a lot, like, oh, you can't just sit on your ass and have things come to you. Well, maybe that's true, and maybe it's not true. You know, it's only true while we believe it to be true. You know, my mum said something super profound to me. I hope, turn it off if the kids are listening. I'll just turn it down a little. Actually, it doesn't really matter. But my mum used to say to me, when I was a kid, and I would say, hey, Mum, is Santa real? She would say, he is if you believe in him. And that is true. When we believe something, it is real. But also, it's not real. Right? It doesn't actually exist. Except in your mind. And then do we create from that place? Well, yeah, sometimes we do, but also life surprises us. You know, sometimes I can believe something to be true and have a really fixed mindset, but then life shows me something different. Now, I didn't change my frequency. I didn't shift my mindset. Something else happened. So then this idea of blocks and the way we are, you know, like blocking the life of our dreams, whatever the fuck that even means, is flawed. Because we can't block something that is here for us. And then I also truly believe that we can. You know, so it is this paradox of. So yeah, it's just an interesting place I'm playing recently. And I think it's been so hard to put into words because maybe the concept is still forming in my head. Maybe it doesn't even make sense. Maybe people just cannot connect to that idea of paradox and how it could be true. Yeah, because that whole idea of, like, hard work, you know, things come to you with hard work, you know, people who have that belief have also won the lotto, you know, so it's not like, you know, I think the very idea that you buy into the fact you have a block is almost like a block of itself, if there is any block, but I'm not sure I even subscribe to that idea anymore. So this is an interesting place because it's also where I sit in my work at the moment in the world, recognizing that that I'm in between. It's almost like I feel like I'm in between worlds. I feel like there's this black and white world where I absolutely don't belong, yet the binary, the paradoxical world hasn't quite evolved yet. And I'm in between spaces when I'm not. Like, I'm here on the ground, and who knows, maybe neither of those paradigms exist. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's just here, me, now. Maybe there isn't anything bigger. But, I mean, I just find it... I find life fascinating. And confusing, and at times overwhelming. Yeah. So that was a rather philosophical episode. I would really love to hear if this landed in any way. Does it make sense, or does it just feel like I'm, you know, on some weird planet waffling? Because that's okay if it does. You know, I remember, I feel like these things take time to land. And I remember being on a treadmill at the gym. God, it would have been 12 years ago. And I was having a PT session and I was whinging about someone. You know, like, oh, they, you know, the blah, blah, whatever it was, I was whinging about someone. And the woman on the other treadmill said to me, maybe she's just mirroring something in you. You know, what if it exists in you, you know what I mean? Like that idea of like, yeah, she's just mirroring you. What there's a part of you that contains that part of her, and that's why it's triggering you. And I was not ready for that level of truth, and I didn't believe that to be true. And then eventually I got it, and I was like, oh yeah, right, so you know, everything exists within me, and what I'm rubbing up against is an aspect of myself that I don't necessarily love, and how can I integrate that part, you know? And these days I've come back full circle again, and I'm not sure. I do believe that to be true. I do believe that everything exists within us, but also, you know, like where does that sense of responsibility, like I feel like I went like way into overcompensating self-responsibility and taking everything on, and I don't necessarily believe that to be true either. You know, sometimes there are, what's to say there aren't, what's to say that isn't true? What's to say it isn't all living within me and it's all just being triggered? It's just another new age concept, right? What if that isn't true? Because it might not be. And I feel like we do tend to get, when we go onto this self-responsibility train, it can almost become like a tool for you know, shaming yourself, really. Like, yeah, yeah. So, you know, so I guess like what I'm saying is, maybe if this doesn't land at all and you're confused as fuck, come back to it in a couple of years and see if it lands. See where you're at then. Yeah. And yeah. And it's interesting, right? Because I feel like this is the whole thing about sharing. You know, this is actually episode 300 of Carlosophies. I can't quite believe that. For 300 weeks, I have rain, hail, shine, whether I was inspired, depressed, you know, whatever, I've managed to get an episode out. That is amazing. And I may continue with it and I may not. I'm honestly not sure at the moment. Maybe this has served its purpose, and maybe, I don't know. I've been playing with the idea of no longer producing Carlosophies. Because I felt like I haven't really had anything new to share. And I've felt that, I don't know, that there's less interest. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. Yeah, but it's like 300 episodes. And I have, you know, there are things that I have spoken about in here that I absolutely fundamentally no longer believe to be true. And this is the whole thing, our truth, our experience, who we are, expands and evolves and grows as we do. And so things that we felt to be true are not necessarily any longer, you know? And that's cool. That's cool. That's a sign. You know, I didn't believe in, hello. I didn't necessarily believe that, you know, what was within was without. And then I came around and I fully believed what is above is below, et cetera, et cetera. And now I'm kind of in this place where I'm not, I'm in between worlds. I'm in the technicolor that exists between white and black. And yeah, and it's a really interesting and at times confusing place to be. I feel like human design has had a part to play in this too, right? Like learning about my own design and seeing others, you know, being lucky enough to have been, you know, kind of doing stuff or integrating human design in with my client sessions and stuff. What I really see is like, you know, the individuality of people, and also how we're part of something. We all have the design. We just don't necessarily have all of it, you know, definition in all areas, which makes us all the same and at the same time very different. And it also changes the way things like law of attraction work, really. You know, like you know, some people are here just to kind of make shit happen with very little effort. And I feel like we all are. But we've all bought into one, you know, kind of very black and white version of how that unfolds. We haven't really yet broken into the fact that everyone is different. We're still operating from this manifestors rule the world, and so we all believe that we should manifest or create in the same way, but we don't. You know, and I think this is where it's at for me at the moment. You know, like I'm really enjoying learning about how differently people operate and how differently they see the world from me. And at the same time, there's so much similarity. You know, there's so much that brings us together. And then at the same time, I feel like the only thing keeping us apart is the understanding that we're all different and honoring that, you know, because it is true. While we are all the same, we are also very different. And so I guess that's what, you know, that's why I've been so obsessed with human design over the last 3 years. It's given me a greater understanding of myself and the gift of really being able to see and understand others. You know, it's shown me my uniqueness and everybody's uniqueness, you know, and that's just a wonderful gift, I feel, to know that the world looks different for every person who walks it, and things that I thought were just fundamentally understood aren't necessarily. Not everyone has the magic of my design, and I don't have the magic of others' design. You know, I don't know what the experience is to be anyone but me, but I at the same time I can still relate very much on my own experience to others, you know, and that's a paradox in itself. So yeah, that's episode 300 of Carlosophies. What a ride, hey? I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Okay, that's it from me. Until next time, peace out.
Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at Carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.